Never weapon?
Yeah, a big one. How about you?
You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out. Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. All right, here we are. It is, why is this not working? I'm already having troubles and I just got started. But it's Monday, it's the 30th of March. Again, it seems like I said that not too long ago. But anyway, hope everybody had a good weekend again. For those of you that are just coming in and didn't hear me an hour ago say the same thing. We'll get to some of the questions here in the chat room in just a minute. We've got a few things there it looks like we need to talk about. I had another picture I wanted to show you here. I guess you saw the one of the grandkids doing their thing there. Let's see. Okay, there we go. My nephew found this picture a few days ago and sent it to me. In this picture, I was 9 years old. I couldn't believe that he found this. It was just awesome. I never even knew that this one existed. I was 9 years old, and this is my very first deer. And that's my Siddle Lister there standing there with me. So that picture was taken in 1965, and before all the safety Nazis jump out there, blow that picture up full size and look and see, you'll see that my finger is resting on the magazine tube and not on the muzzle. It's still way too close, but hey, I was nine. But anyway, that was That's the 30-30 that I killed my first couple of deer with, and shot a lot of stuff with it. That was an old Marlin 336. It was in the family for quite a while, and I don't know whatever happened to it. Sometime after we all parted ways, I guess it wound up probably in a pawn shop or something somewhere, would be my guess. But anyway. Thank you, Reitzman. Doc, the powder is not as bad as it was here. It's pretty bad, but it's not quite as bad as it was. There's a little available. I've still got a decent supply, so I haven't really looked hard for it. But I do check when I'm in places and see what they got. Let's see, there was another question here. Yakima Glock said he tried out a Lone Wolf 9mm conversion barrel. Worked great. 80 rounds through it. Okay, yeah, if it works good, you may not need the extractor and the spring-loaded bearing, but like you say, just go ahead and get them and put them back just in case. They'll still work with your 40. They're close enough, each of them, that I don't know why... What are you looking for? Did you look? Is it right here? Nope, I guess not. Nope, good luck. So, anyway. Goodness, excuse me. The Lone Wolf barrels work good. They're for the money, I think they're the best buy on the market. I like, KKM. Are probably the best drop-in barrels on the market. Barstow, Barstow makes a great barrel, and I wouldn't say anything bad about it. I'm just not convinced that it's enough better than the KKM, or even measurably, noticeably better at all than the KKM. And your Barstow barrels have to be fitted just a little bit to make them work. But, you know, you're putting it in a Glock, not a finely crafted 1911 or something. So the fitting, it's still a Glock. And unless you're doing a whole bunch of other work to it, they're not worth the money. But KKM is just a little bit cheaper, and it's a drop-in barrel. And I've got a couple of them, and they work absolutely wonderfully. They are flawless. I may have three of them. And the accuracy is extremely good, and no malfunctions due to chamber tightness or anything like that, or feed ramps, nothing. They're great barrels. But all that being said, for the money, Lone Wolf is the way to go. It's the ticket. The Lone Wolf barrel is more accurate than most people are capable of shooting. They're $100 cheaper, $80 cheaper than the KKMs. And then there's a wide variety of them. There's usually no waiting time on them. There's no reason whatsoever not to go with the Lone Wolf. Now, the only one I steer away from is... I told you the other night what it was. Storm Lake. And it's not that they're bad barrels, but they're tighter chambers, and a lot of people do experience malfunctions with them. So that's the only reason I say that I personally don't want one. They're not junk. The junk ones are made by Federal, not Federal Cartridge Company, you know, whatever you call it, but just Federal barrels. They stink. So long slide, you can pretty well forget about a threaded barrel for that 41 for now. It's probably going to be, just guessing, I'm going to say it's going to be 6 months to a year before you're going to find one, unless you want to have one made. They're just, and you asked about the 21 a while ago. No, they're way, way too short. No way the Glock 21 will work at all in the 41. And I'd say you've probably got a pretty good wait coming. I may be wrong. It may surprise me. But I'm saying you've got a minimum of 6 months waiting for a 41 barrel there. No, B2 Basic, let's get this squared away right now. It's not a little sad. What's going to happen is you're going to have a gun customized to your hand, and there's nothing sad about it. It's going to be awesome. I definitely don't. All of mine, I've got, I don't know how many I've got anymore, 10 or 12 Glocks. They're all customized, and I don't miss for 1 second the way they used to be. I really, really like the... after they've been modified and reduced and stuff. So, anyway, there's, you know, I worked quite a bit here with, and I'm going to give you all some, I'm not by any remote stretch of the imagination, not even a little bit, not in your wildest dreams, am I a radio or shortwave expert in any manner. But I'll tell you what, we are getting some radios squared away here and getting some stuff put up so that Tampico Scout, that's pretty cool. Same gun, same age. That's neat. I like that. The radios that we're going with mostly, now we talked about these a little bit before. I'm going to go over them just briefly. You can get FRS, GMRS anywhere, Walmart, Target, Kmart, you know, whatever. They're everywhere, probably even the dollar store as far as that goes. There's millions of them out there. If you get one of the better ones, you know, you start paying a little bit more. You can get a set of FRS radios for $20. A set meaning a pair. And some of them have, well, most of those will be battery. There won't be a charger or anything with it. But as you step up just a little bit, you go with the FRS GMRS, and hold that thought for a minute and let me answer Mountain Shooter. Mountain shooter, changing the grip angle is not a problem, son. I've been doing that for 10 years, buddy. I can make it exactly like a 1911. Exactly, I mean like the same. So, yes, we got that all figured out. Been doing it for a while. And there is grip angle of the 1911 is the stock grip angle is vastly superior to Glock. I don't know why Glock decided to put that stupid hump on the back of that thing, but it sucks. And it goes away on mine just as soon as I get them. Let's get back to the radios. Next one would be the GMRS radios, and all of those will be a combination of FRS and GMRS. The first seven or eight are a combination FRS-GMRS, depending on the power. If you're on 5 milliwatts, it's FRS. If you're at 5 watts, it's GMRS. GMRS does require that you get a license. Now, that's entirely up to you. It's no farther than they reach and everything else. Now, we talked many times about civil disobedience on here. And it just dawned on me day before yesterday that probably the largest display of civil disobedience in the history of the United States are CBers and just regular radio operators. They finally dropped the license for CB because they couldn't keep up with it. There was just no way. We conducted a vast display of civil disobedience, you know, in the prime of the height of the CB days there. And the same thing is happening with his GMRS radios. They will be forced eventually to drop that GMRS, even though it's a it's related to the ham, the old shortwave thing. It's not there, but it's not far away. But I still think that they'll drop it at some point because they're as common as dirt. They're cheap. Everybody's got them. Everybody talks on them. And I'll bet they don't do 5%, 2% of the licenses that they should if everybody would get one like they were planning on it. The next seven channels are the actual FRS channels. No GMRS requires, no license. And then there's the next ones depending on what brand you get. Most of them go up to channel 22. Those are straight GMRS channels, and those are the ones where you have the higher power, which makes them GMRS. Well, they're dedicated GMRS no matter what power they are. But that's right, Tampico Scout. CB was a cell phone back when I was a kid. That's right. That's how we communicated. And it was. That's how we communicated all the time. Everywhere we went, everybody had CBs. All my friends, all the truckers, every damn buddy had CBs out there. And it was always on. I never, ever turned my CB. To this day, right now, this minute, you walk out to my truck and it's not off. I never turn it off unless I'm changing trucks, literally. Once in a while, I'll turn it off because I want the lights to go out when I'm parked in a dark parking lot somewhere just to keep anybody from being nosy. But I never turn it off. And it's always turned up enough where if somebody hollers at me or something, of course, nobody does anymore because there's just not any CBers left out there, just very few of them. But I still think, and it's an essential means of communication, I think redundancy in communication is a very good thing. And not to be stuck with just one deal. And Peanut Rider, it's not a fact of whether it's a $65 a year license for a $20 radio. The fact is that you can get, if you're talking about the GMRS, it's actually $85. And it's good for more than a year. But you can get up to 50 watts, and you can get quite a good size GMRS base type radio. You need to get another license if you're going to bounce them off of repeaters. There are a way that you can program the radios like we have so that the GMRS channels can bounce off of repeaters. But trying to keep up with the chat room here and keep track of what I'm saying at the same time. But I think that having a well-tuned, good CB is an essential thing. But also these little UV5Rs that we talked about, and I know we've already talked about them. I'm not going to spend too much time on them. But long slide, that's probably not a good thing to put out there on public forum. Just in case, you know what I mean? There we go. hey, Thunder 57, way to go, buddy. I'm glad you made it in here. Hadn't seen you for a little while. Haven't seen you too often here anymore. I know you're busy. Anyway, these little Baofeng UV5Rs or the UV82s that's out, we've talked about them, how they work and everything. But I was looking at some programming. I'm doing this communications meeting here for the community in a couple of weeks. And I was looking at getting a bunch of those radios and pre-programming them for them, getting a few accessories and selling them at this meeting. But the way to program these, of course, there's a program called Chirp that you can download onto your computer. Takes a little while to, you know, if you're not familiar with the radio stuff, it takes a little bit to get it squared away where you know what you're doing with it. But you can program all of the FRS, GMRS channels on it. And we're going to talk like licenses are not an issue at all right now, or they're really not. You know, we'll get right down to it. But you can put all of the PMR channels on them, the MERS channels, you know, all that, all those, some of those require licenses, some of them don't. And you can also program your FRS and GMRS channels with privacy codes, just like you can on the ones that you get from Walmart. Of course, it's quite a bit more trouble to program them that way. But what you need to understand about these little radios is that there is absolutely nothing, in the absence of a dire emergency, there is no way that you can transmit anything on any frequency legally off of the UV5Rs. So take that into consideration when you decide to get one, because anything that you say on it is going to be illegal, doesn't matter what frequency you go to. So the thing to remember on this is that if you were to happen to think that somebody's coming that may have heard you, you have some reason to believe that there's actually some reason for concern that somebody might catch you, all you're going to do is go to, now say you see the guy walking up, he pulls up in the driveway, whatever, you're going to need about 5 seconds lead time, and you're just going to pull out your radio, hit menu, and then punch in 40, menu, 40, and then click the, I think it says reset all or something like that. Anyway, it goes all back to default settings. So there's no way that they can know what you're doing there. So just understand that you do need a license for anything that you say on the UV5R, period. I saw Yakima Glock's post there on the 27 chop. C7, buddy, if you haven't already started hating me, you can go ahead and start now if you want. It's going to be probably the 25th before I get up there. And that is due to, I didn't know the date that we were planning on. I didn't know that this coming weekend. I didn't pay attention that this Easter's coming up. And I've already got classes and stuff scheduled for the next 2 weekends, so I hate to break that to you. But it's going to have to be that way, and I'm sorry. I'll do my best to make it up to you there. But anyway, the little radios I'm going to program, you can... You can program those with some of those easy to find channels in them, and the ones that I'm going to offer at these meetings, I'm going to put in some of the local repeaters and the NOAA channels. Now, the NOAA channels, if you put them in there with default settings, you'll be able to talk on the NOAA channels, and that will not be a good thing. Anything that most of your ham stuff, they're a pretty tight-knit community, and they will catch you, and they will hear you, and you will be in trouble with it. So, there's still a few of them out there. Where you get in trouble the most is when in your ham channels. You're not going to hear anything with your, especially if you start messing with repeaters. If you start bouncing off of repeaters and you can't got a call sign to relate to them, then they will turn you in. That's just the way they are. They're pretty. I don't know if I'd say snobbish, but they have their own little hobby, and they paid for their license, and they're doing things legally, and they expect everybody else to do the same. So, but outside of that, there's very, very little to be concerned about. Very little. But what I was going to say about the NOAA channels, if you program those in there with the default settings from the factory, then you'll be able to talk on the NOAA channels, and that will be, if they catch you on that, and they will do their best to hunt you down. So you can go in there and program that to where it where it'll receive but not transmit. So you can take a certain bank of frequencies, or however many frequencies, 1 or 10 or however many, and program it to where they don't talk, so you won't accidentally get in trouble. You don't want everybody else to, especially when I'm putting these radios out for other people, I don't want it to come back on me sooner or later that I'm programming them that way. So, well, faking one will work, Thunder 57, in a lot of places, because all you do is just say, okay, I'll sell 595, I'm out. And, you know, if they're going to hear it, they think you say anything, and 9 times out of 10, they're not going to get too excited about it, as long as you don't get in there and tie it up for too long or start talking about illegal stuff or something like that. So if you're careful and don't spend a lot of time there, you can get away with it a little bit. So let's take a little break here, and we'll come back when we're done and talk about this a little bit more. Just a little bit more. See if the music works now.
She was standing in the crowd all alone, looking pretty, listening to the music that we played. She walked up and whispered, I leaned down and listened to the request that she made.
Do you know
you are my sunshine? She asked so sweet and tenderly.
Do you know
you are my sunshine? And would you do chasing the sunshine each and every night. I'm searching every crowd for a face. She was gone just as quick as the song that she asked for, taking my sunshine away. But someday when I finally look down and see her, I know just what I'm gonna say. Do you know you are my sunshine? Do you know what your smile did to me? Do you know you are my sunshine? And it looks like you're always gonna be.
Do you know?
Do you know you are my sunshine? Do you know what your smile did to me?
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byard Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byard Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byard Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByardBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good. Back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle.
No brag, just fact.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the Shooting Bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell. And there's fire on the mountain, lying in the air. Cold in them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
All right, we're back. Let's we'll talk about Tumbling Brass just a little bit here when we get done here. But I was thinking about how I'm going to program these things. So I programmed some of the easy channels, the GMRS channels in there, and a few of the local repeaters and the NOAA channels. And
it's nice to be able to be out in the woods somewhere now. Well, let me finish this thought here before I lose it. It's nice to be able to be out in the woods or something, just or driving down the road and need a quick weather update. You can hit that local tower here up on Greens Peak, and we have weather running, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you can hit it real quick and catch it, and that's awesome. And also about the UV5Rs, there's a little button on there that you can push, and you can have a pre-programmed FM radio station. So I've got one of the local talk stations programmed in there, because that's where the if there's an emergency or anything happens and you're out in the woods, that'd be the one to hit to check and see what's going on in town if you need to. And you can also, there's a way, if you push the right buttons, you can get the, you know, go up in frequency, but it's pre-programmed for one. So it's a pretty neat deal. I'm going to offer a few accessories and get some of these radios pre-programmed and offer them to them. They're light, easy, got lots of accessories for them. And it's just a neater than heck deal. They're cheap. And if you want to step up just a tiny bit and still have all of the features of the UV5R plus a few, then get the UV82. And just remember, with either one of them, there is not one word that you can say on anything there, unless it's an emergency, on any channel that you can get on them legally. So keep that in mind. Okay, looks like we're tumbling brass here. And one of the things, we're talking about the different types of things that you use. You know, I used to, when I first got my very first tumbler, it was kind of a cheap thing from Midwest. Still got, I saw part of it here the other day, around here somewhere. And, dang, I've had that thing for I don't know how long. But at the time, I had gotten into this Melaleuca stuff. And went gung-ho with that for a little while, and then I decided, you know what, there's bound to be something better to do with my life than sell Melaleuca. So, but while I was in that, and actually for quite a while after I got out, I'd pour about a teaspoon or so, of a product that they used to call Tub and Tile. I don't know what they call it now or if they even still have it, but it used to be called Tub and Tile. And I'd put just a little dab of that in my tumbling media and turn it on, and boy, I'll tell you what, it really, really cleaned that stuff up. Looked great. And the truth be known, you could take that stuff and just get you a small bowl full of that at Tub and Tile, and just dump your brass in it, swish it around a little bit, dump it out and dry it, or rinse it off and dry it. And it worked pretty well. It just, it cut that stuff that well. It was an excellent product. But, of course, you didn't get the degree of smoothness, you know, and some of the little scratches and some of that kind of stuff that you get out of it, and it doesn't clean the primer pockets and everything as well. That's something you always want to do before you tumble your brass, is clean your primer, take your primers out, deprime it, and it kind of helps clean the primer pockets there a little bit. The only thing about that, well, either way, whether it is or not, you want to check and make sure that you don't have any of that tumbling media stuck in the flash hole. That could cause a hang fire, and we wouldn't like that. Technical term for that is bad. So we want to try to avoid that if we can. But anyway, I just, nowadays I don't even, I just tumble them with the, I'm not real anal about getting my brass all bright and shiny. It just doesn't excite me in any degree. So if it's just decently clean, I don't care that it's stained. I don't care. It doesn't affect the feeding, it doesn't affect nothing. So I don't tumble them near as long, spend near as much time with them as I used to. I don't care if they're shiny or not. As long as they're clean, the stains on it doesn't bother me. So I don't spend much time with it. Okay, well, let me jump over here and see. I know I stuck a deal or two over here that we need to check on real quick. I guess now we've got enough evidence here that naturally we've figured out that Jade Helm 15 is a real exercise. What they're hoping to accomplish, of course, from the first appearances there's a lot of things that we could assume is probably not very good on our part. But, from what we're seeing here, whether it really is or not, I don't know. It may be just exactly what they say it is. But I can see several things that they could gain from this that would help them in the future, even if that is not the goal right now. Even if it is everything that they say it is, nothing more than a training exercise, I can see that they're going to learn a whole lot if they want it, it's there for the taking. And they're going to learn more about us, but truth be known, we're going to learn a little bit about them too if we pay attention. Now, what they're going to be doing is sneaking around, kind of infiltrating civilians and stuff and kind of getting an idea. And you're supposed to call in. And if you see anything suspicious, you're supposed to call and let them know about this. So what's that doing? Well, what it's doing is letting them know what mistakes they're making. If they caught you, if you caught them and you turned it in, they're going to say, okay, now this is something we're going to have to do a little bit different now. So we'll see. Anyway, so there is a little resistance going on to the militarized police departments. We've got a couple of states that are introducing bills there that's going to be blocking any federal programs that militarize local police. There's going to be some that will just flat not allow it in their states. Whether they'll pass or not, I don't know. But nevertheless, there is some resistance out there to it, and that's a very good thing. So, I saw on a completely separate note here, and this really surprised me. And that is, most of you are familiar with Stevie Nicks. Stevie Nicks used to sing with, who in the hell was it now? I forgot. He used to sing Rhiannon and some of those songs. Jeez, unbelievable. He used to be one of my favorite groups. Still is, actually. If I could just think of who they are. Man, this is bad. Anyway, she actually has, she was honored along with 27 Medal of Honor recipients at U.S. Metro's 33rd annual awards dinner. She was acknowledged for having spent the most hours. She's the modern day Bob Hope of, Bob Hope used to go overseas and perform all the time. Well, she has got the award for having spent the most hours visiting combat wounded servicemen and women. This was presented to her by a corporal who was in a coma for over a year. And Stevie stays in contact with this guy and his family over the years, or has stayed in contact with him over the years. And is his recovery, I guess, is quite a story in itself. But says she donated hundreds of iPods, and that she'd personally programmed with music to the, I don't know if it was her music or not, but nevertheless, she programmed them. And so I think that's pretty cool. And that really surprised Fleetwood Mac is who it was. Jeez, oh, Pete. But I was a little surprised. I don't know why. I guess I was stereotyping a little bit, but I was most impressed that she would do this. So, Let me go back here and check my chat room real quick. It's running away from me here. I don't see anything that needs to be addressed right off the bat. Okay. All right, let me hit another one or two here. We're starting to wind down here. Here's some more kickback. Now, guys, you gotta believe here. I have heard scuttlebutt that there are groups out there that are, shall we say, looking at options. And we'll just kind of leave it at that for right now. But here is a marijuana grower who we may have, let's see, shot cops, quit. Shot some cops and they were kicking down his door. And the jury said, you know what? We don't blame him. We don't blame him a bit for what happened. So with this kind of attitude in juries and in citizens, you know, there's going to come that time, I think, when the cops are going to say, you know what, I don't feel completely comfortable with going out on my shift tonight. I think I'm going to put in my application at Burger King. I think there'll come a time when it's going to start getting questionable for them out there. I think there's a lot of people that are have just about had enough. We talked about this just a little bit a week or so ago, but we're starting to see more and more stuff coming around here, which makes me believe that it really is a possibility. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that and see what happens with it. Let me look again here. I'll have to wait on that one. That's a long one. We got a whole another show on that one story by itself. I know you've seen, this was a week or week and a half ago, where Iran has endorsed a nuclear EMP attack on the United States. You know, whether they're just talking, you know, this whole nuclear talks with Iran, it astonishes me. It's absolutely freaking stunning, the stuff that's going on there. When they come out and saying all this death to America and doing all these chants and all that stuff and endorsing an EMP attack on the United States, and we're going to entertain notions of helping them do that, surely I'm missing something somewhere. I just can't imagine that our country would do that. I just am in a total loss here. But be that as it may, it is what it is. It's happening. They're doing it. They're talking about it. And as we talked about with the in that video on YouTube, the electronic apocalypse. I don't know if you all watched that or not. It's 50 minutes long. You ought to think about watching it if you haven't. Just go to YouTube and punch in electronic apocalypse. There's 50 minutes of video there that is pretty eye-opening if your eyes are not ever already open to this. And if you look at the things that they talk about in that video about what has already happened as compared to what could happen and what we've seen just in the last month or so. I think that taking those radios and some of your stuff and putting it away in a EMP-proof container of some kind is probably just not a bad idea. And I don't know why I feel impressed to say this as often as I do, but I know that some of you are not doing it yet. And You know, we're going to talk about this in our communication meeting coming up this weekend, or 2 weeks. And one of the things is, how in the world do you expect to communicate with your community, with people that are around you, without having to jump on a bicycle or a horse or a 1965 Ford pickup, or walk, or learn smoke signals, or get a good signal mirror and hope the sun is right? This communication thing is monstrous. I think that it is every bit the equal of self-defense. Because there's a possibility that with good communications, you may be able to avoid those situations and those mobs and the stuff where you would have to defend yourself. So I wouldn't come out and say that it is more critical, but I think that it is head and shoulders right along with self-defense. Everybody wants to go buy more ammo, more ammo. You've already got 2 or 3 or 5 or 10,000 rounds. You want to buy more ammo. Damn that. We'll get ammo when the time comes. You better have a way to communicate. You can take these UV-5Rs or the UV-82s or any, 100 other radios and go ahead and program your repeaters and stuff in there, because when this happens, I take that back. If it's an EMP thing, the repeaters are going to be dead anyway, so it's going to be line of sight for a while. But you can still talk on these shortwave channels. But anyway, think about that a little bit, and I think that you need to get real, real serious about communications. So this coming Thursday, I am honored to be Kit's first guest on her new radio show. I'm going to put a link in here, the Patrick Henry Society. And Thursday evening, 4 o'clock Pacific, I'm going to be on the radio with Kit as her very first guest, which tickles me to death that she has seen fit to invite me to do this. And we're going to talk about several things concerning militia. She wants to get that out in the open right off the bat. So if you're around and it doesn't interfere with anything else that you're doing, then join us. I don't believe that interferes with any of the Survival Circle shows. I don't believe, does it? Let's see. We got 10, 8, 7. Mother's at 7. Nope, I don't think that interferes with anything. So no reason you can't come and join us for that show. And I look forward to it. I know Kit is, she is extraordinarily intelligent, articulate, and I think that this show is going to go real well for her, and I think it'll go well for anybody that listens to it. She is a hardcore, dyed-in-the-wool, carved-in-stone patriot, and has a good way with words as well, and that's a wonderful thing. So be sure and join me for that. Join us for that. Okay, let's see. Yeah, it looks like Tampico Scout's having a problem. I don't know. Nobody else is, or too much anyway. So, Thunder 57, that's good to hear. I'm glad that you've got radios put away. I think that one should have at least two. Now, there's no reason that you can't take these little... I was talking about these Midland radios a while ago. My favorite Midlands, there's two models, and that is the GXT 1000s and the GXT 1050s. Feature-wise, they're about the same. Power-wise, they're exactly the same. The 1050s are camouflage and have animal calls on it or some crap. I don't know. But other than that, they are the same thing. They take the same batteries. They take the same accessories. They're the same. And for, you know, on Amazon for around 75, you know, 70 bucks or something like that, you get two of them, chargers and all that. That would be a good thing to put away. And they take rechargeable batteries and AA's, and they're great, great radios. Matter of fact, I thought I had found the answer to all of my communication needs as far as being in the field when I discovered these radios, and then the UV5Rs popped up, and I've had to reconsider. But that doesn't mean that the GXT1000s and 1050s are any less than they used to be. It just means I've found something a little more. So I'm sitting here looking at two sets of them right now that I'm not going to get rid of. I still think it's a great, damn fine source radio. Okay, well, I've managed to stumble through another show here. So I hope that y'all will join us tomorrow. It's a good possibility that Amy's going to be, if she does happen to make it in time, she's probably going to be bushed and got stuff to put up and clean up and do everything else. So there's a pretty good possibility she's not going to be on tomorrow. But I think what I'll do, just because we try to keep things here on the Survival Circle, we try to keep things professional. I'd like for people to be on time and go the amount of time that they're supposed to be and everything. We don't want to make this a ragtag hit and miss. You know, you may be able to listen to them and you may not. We're not going to do that. I'll shut it down before we do that. So since Amy is supposed to be on there, I know she's going to be busier than a cat covering up poop on a marble floor, so I'll be glad to take her time for her and make it a two-hour show. We'll get some of her regular material and stumble along through it. I know I don't sound as pretty as she does. She damn sure does, too. But I'll stumble through it somehow, and then we'll move on with the other stuff. So, looks like Thunder 57 is doing just exactly what I hope everybody will do. The ham, VHF, and UHF is all in one unit, and CB too. Yeah, good deal. I'm glad you're doing that. Those are things that we can work with and do things with after an EMP. And if there's not an EMP and the poop hits the fan without the EMP, well, so what? Then we've just got extra radios and stuff put away. Well, where is that a bad thing? Jeez, come on. Okay. All right. I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of here RAT right now. See y'all later.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join COPE Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.